crawl out of the hole you're in. Who you are is not who you've been. Now's the time to sing or swim. Will you fight the tide or get lost within? And I know you're feeling low, feel like you've lost control. But the darkness that you know, it's not your home and you're not alone.
The Cure with Amy Cabo. Life can bring many difficult situations, domestic violence, addictions, poverty, and even sexual abuse by your loved ones. Welcome, Amy Cabo and The Cure.
Good afternoon and welcome to The Cure Radio Show. I'm your host, Amy Cabo, joined by Boris, my other half.
Hi, how are you?
Our show is available live on your radio, also on our app, The Cure, on any smartphone, or our website, godisthecure.com. We are broadcasting today live from Miami through satellite and soon after on any podcast player. This show deals with suffering, the tenacity of the human spirit, the will to survive, and the courage to keep moving forward despite any obstacle with the help of God and each other. We do provide testimonials to let people know they're not alone. And in this show, the testimony started with me, having been a survivor from child abuse well into young adulthood. We also have expert and inspirational speakers that are willing to help us with valuable information. Knowing that education is necessary, awareness is crucial, and comfort is needed. I believe we all suffer or have suffered from something, and we hope to be a source of healing for each other. My healing came from God, but other forms of healing are presented as well to service everyone. Life can be very challenging, but always know there's always someone who cares. There is always hope. That song we played earlier was Lost Within by Fivefolds. We get to pick the songs. I mean, at least I do. I'd like your help. You could go to the website, God is the Cure, and submit the contact form and submit your songs. Until then, you've got my take. Have we ever found out that we have changed and we're not the same? We are stuck in darkness, deep within, nothing like when we were kids, when we were innocent. Yet we know we can rise above, despite feeling like we have lost control, because that darkness that we feel is not from us, and we're never alone. The things of this world seemed so inviting, but there was always so much more. We feel it. We know it. No matter how much this world has taken you prisoner, God will never let you down. Don't let the enemy get your soul. So where do we turn to? How do we find ourselves and search for peace? Today, we have Larry White as our guest. Larry White is the author of The Confessions of a Zen Narcissist, Struggles with the Illusion of Self, an honest, revealing, and personal account that explains a personality disorder from a perspective rarely seen. Aside from being a recognized author, Larry has been the president of his own business, Larry White Associates, since 1997. LWA is a personal replacement business that finds candidates for hospital and clinic employers. Prior to starting his own business, Larry was a psychiatric hospital administrator and a director of alcohol and substance abuse treatment programs. He has been a practitioner of Zen Buddhism since college and has been a disciple of Hakun Yasutani Roshi and Keido Fukushima Roshi.
Larry's going to say if you're pronouncing it right later.
Larry was born in California and has lived in Boston, Washington, D.C., Virginia, Florida, and New Mexico. He now lives in Louisiana and continues to run his business and participate in the activities of two, not one, two Zen groups. Larry, thank you for being with us, and welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. I'm delighted to be here. I very much have an understanding of your show because I was able to read your book before this session started. So I know where you're coming from, and I'm delighted to be here.
Nice, and I'm super excited to have you on the show because I know a little bit about narcissism, but I don't know anything about Zen, the Zen viewpoint, and that's something that it's really intriguing. And I don't know if the Zen viewpoint leads to narcissism. Could you explain that to us? What the Zen religion is, since you're running two groups of them?
Sure. I think that the combination of my being a Zen Buddhist and a narcissist, it's interesting. Zen Buddhism is a form of Buddhism, and it's pretty basic. The thing that I've come to realize is that we're all on the same track. You're a Catholic, and I'm a Buddhist, and there is very little difference, because except in the terminology, we're both looking to drop the illusion of self, which gets in the way of God or gets in the way of enlightenment or whatever words you want to use, and we're all looking for that opportunity to function in the world with love and with acceptance and without stumbling over ourselves. And what is ironic about my experience is that there are no two things, human experiences, that could be more distant from each other than Zen or narcissism. And the thing that is crucial about narcissism, which I've come to learn, is that it's a delusion in which you see yourself, your own little self, as the world. Nothing else matters except that little self.
You're in your own universe.
You're in your own universe. And you don't have any empathy, and you don't have any love, and you don't have any compassion. And the thing that's amazing about that, as I was growing up, my father used to say, why can't you love? You're not loving. I didn't know what he was talking about. Later, I worked for the Quakers. And they kept saying, you don't have any love. What's the matter? Because I didn't know what they were talking about. Because for a narcissist, so trying to talk, to discuss empathy, love, compassion, it's like trying to talk about red to a person who's colorblind. I mean, as I look back on it, it's amazing. I had no idea what they were talking about. And when I finally, a few years ago, finally was able to drop the narcissism, I was confronted with a whole different view of the world. I suddenly had empathy and compassion, and it was a total difference.
So in your Zen religion, in the process of finding self-realization, and you believed that you were your own ball of energy, your own universe, and all that existed was you?
That's right. For all those years that I was practicing Zen, and let me put it chronologically. I was introduced to Zen in the first year of my of college.
But I thought the Buddhist religion was about everyone. Isn't it?
Thank you, but I thought it was about everyone?
Yes. I mean, I don't know much about it. But
Buddhism is a religion that's 2,500 years old, and it was started by an Indian named Gautama Buddha. And what he did, he was an unhappy person. He struggled. He was uncomfortable. He came from a very wealthy royal background, but when he discovered people suffered and died and had sickness and everything, he was very upset about it. So he went out and tested everything he could find in the way of growth. He everything from almost starvation, asceticism, to extreme worldliness and luxury. And finally, out of desperation, he sat down one evening and just started meditating. And when he woke up, he had an experience in which he saw that the world was one, and that there was no self, there was no barriers, that we were all one, and the underlying reality of the whole thing was love. And then he spent the rest of the next 40 years of his life trying to help people to have that experience. And it's very difficult. And people today continue to practice different varieties of Zen, just like there are different varieties of Christianity. But they're all.
Yes, but I always believe that we experience love in loving one another. So I'd like to explore this further. I'm Amy Cabo, and this is The Cure. We'll continue talking about narcissism and religion when we return.
We will be right back with Amy Cabo and The Cure.
Life can bring many difficult situations. Domestic violence, addictions, poverty, and even sexual abuse by your loved ones. The issue is not stay there, but to overcome all obstacles and show that with the love of God, your husband, and your family, you can succeed. Love is the answer, God is the cure, reveals Amy Cabo's life. A warrior who didn't give up and achieved the dream of her life. You can get to know more about her and her story on GodIsTheCure.com or buying her book on Amazon.com. 'Cause after all, I guess it all depends upon the people you choose and where you're from. So I've been so lucky so far, it's outrageous. I won't complain, I'll give myself a little credit since I dealt with all the pain. Yeah, I turned superhero. I'm coming in Bruce Wayne. I did it again, I did it again. But this time I took control and turned my...
And now we will continue with Amy Cabo and The Cure.
Hi again. Welcome to The Cure, and thanks for tuning in. I'm Amy Cabo.
Remember that you can listen to the radio show live through The Cure app under Amy Cabo or through your radio station. If they don't play us on your radio station, ask them to play us. Now, later the show will be available as a podcast too, so whoever misses it through the radio just can go to any podcast app and look for The Cure. Please.
Can't they even ask Alexa?
Oh, you know, that's a good thing. Yes, you can ask Alexa, play The Cure with Amy Cabo.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, that song that just played was 1010 by Rex Orange County. I realized that I've been blessed all my life. It's really outrageous how I can never complain. Once we realize our potential in God, we learn to live again. And we learn to appreciate all that we've been through and how well we dealt with the pain. You know, we always do it again and again, whether we succeed or whether we fail. It doesn't matter if we fall from grace. God will always take us back. We can all turn superheroes and come in like Bruce Wayne. We are talking to Larry White, who is helping us understand narcissism when it comes to the Zen Buddhist religion. And for those who are just tuning in, I discovered that the Zen Buddhist religion is just the branch of religion where it is believed that every one of us, we are our own little universes. And we can discover this through self-realization, through meditation. And so Larry, our guest today, who's with us, can tell us more about this.
Amy, you just before the break, you said it all. The point is that love is the answer, and it doesn't matter whether we're talking about Zen Buddhism or Christianity, and it doesn't matter which one is right or wrong, because if you there is no right or wrong. Once you have really experienced love, then all of the vehicles merge into one reality. And
so unconditional there's love. Unconditional love.
Love is the answer, and the techniques in Christianity to experience love are one thing, and the techniques in Zen Buddhism are a little different, but the outcome is the same. And that is a oneness with the universe and a oneness with God or ultimate reality or whatever you want to call it. And the thing that's important about narcissism is directly related to this, because the narcissist cannot love. It doesn't know he. I say he because most narcissists are male, but he or she doesn't know how to love. Because it's not something that you inherit; it's something that comes out of your childhood environment. And the ironic thing is that most of the people who I would expect that a large percentage of people who are narcissists have the kind of experience that I do, in which you had loving parents who concerned about you, who cared about you, but who inadvertently made you special. And made you grow up feeling that you were unique and special, and therefore your little self was the only reality, and that is the absolute opposite of either Buddhism or Christianity, because you are not able to love, you're not able to experience love, whether it be the love of your neighbor or the love of God. And so the question that there's two things that are interesting here. One is what is significant about the narcissist? How is he or she different? And then the second thing is, how does a person who lives with or works with a narcissist, how are they going to get along with them? And a third issue, which we can't really deal with here, is helping a therapist to understand what the narcissist is really like, because most therapists have never met somebody who has overcome narcissism. So understanding narcissism from the inside is something that has not been possible.
Overcoming narcissism, you're saying that you're okay with being a narcissist because you find that it's under the right context.
No, there's really nothing okay about being a narcissist. The narcissist is a very, very unpleasant trap for most people.
Okay, so then you're no longer a narcissist, because I thought maybe the best remedy for narcissism would be humility, to find out your insignificance in the world, at the same time know that you are valued in God's eyes. Insignificance,
right,
when it comes in comparison to the bigger picture.
The problem with that is that if you're a narcissist, you have all the right answers.
You don't know that you're a narcissist.
No.
Yeah.
No, you don't know that you're a narcissist.
We may be a narcissist in denial?
Well, unless somebody tells you, I guess.
If you have somebody in your family or somebody you work with, somebody you know, a real person, and you know from, because there are 9 characteristics of narcissism, which are discussed in my book, and that, so it's very easy to look at that list, and the diagnosis is very simple. You don't need to be a therapist. You can say,
well,
look,
please do tell the 9 characteristics. Please do tell the 9 characteristics for those of us who are narcissists in denial.
Well, maybe you're not.
Here they are. Here's the 9 characteristics.
Go for it.
There's a sense of grandiosity. There's a sense of fantasies, of power and success. There's the idea of belief in being special. There's a demand for admiration. There's a sense of entitlement. There's the exploitation of others. There's a lack of empathy. And there's envy of others, or a suspicion of envy from others. And there's arrogance. Now, if you have...
Oh, you're right. A narcissist is not nice.
No, a narcissist is not nice. If you have 5 of those characteristics, you're considered to have a personality disorder, and that's what NPD, or Narcissistic Personality Disorder, is a person who manifests 5 of those. A big friend?
It seems that way. I mean,
yeah,
there aren't a lot of people like that. I mean, maybe my mother. But I fell far, far from the tree.
But you see, Amy, when somebody is a narcissist and you confront them and you say, you're a narcissist, they're going to deny it. The real problem, the reason that I was able to overcome narcissism was that my life was a failure. I couldn't do anything right. I got fired, couldn't do anything right, and I had terrible relationships with people, and I was lousy as a lover, we can imagine, with no sensitivity. And finally, my second wife was a beautiful woman, and very intuitive. She was in therapy herself, she was very concerned about our life and what I was screwing up right and left. And so she talked to her therapist and said, "I think my husband is a narcissist." But she had the book that has all this in it called the Diagnostic Statistical Manual of Mental Illness, and her therapist said, "Well, let me meet him." So Christina came back and said, "Well, my therapist wants to meet you." Well, that's very common.
Well, definitely, I want to go into that because it looks like your wife was your saving grace. I'm Amy Cabo, and this is The Cure.
There's no question about that.
Please call us if you'd like to share your story about interaction with a narcissist person, or if you yourself a narcissist and you want to change. 866-34-TRUTH. 1-866-34-TRUTH.
With Amy Cabo and The Cure. Now we will continue with Amy Cabo and The Cure.
Welcome to The Cure with Amy Cabo and Boris.
That's me.
Listen to us live every Saturday at 1 p.m. on your radio, on our app, The Cure, or our website, godisthecure.com. All shows are later, a podcast. Just look for The Cure with Amy Cabo. That song that just played was beautiful. Soul by Jesse McCartney. God will ease our minds if we give him the chance. He will dry our tears. And he wants to be full time in our lives because all he sees is you're beautiful. Let not his love go to waste or not another minute go by feeling alone, because it's God that's always holding us and loving our beautiful souls. No matter how alone we feel, God is always there. We are talking to Larry White about his personal experience overcoming narcissism.
I want to also to say that we are announcing a contest. Let us know suggestions for a song that we can play on the show through our contact us page on God is the Cure, and if we play it, you will receive $25 gift certificate. So please go there and give us your suggestion.
Larry, I think when we last spoke, we were talking about your personal experience that you did not know that you were a narcissist, and you came to find out because your loving wife was concerned. And please do continue.
Yes, that was a very important thing. When she talked to her therapist said, "Don't confront him. Narcissists don't. He won't believe you. He's not open to it, and it'll damage your relationship." She didn't take that advice, fortunately, and she confronted me with this information in the DSM-5, the Diagnostic Manual, and I read it, and I broke out in a cold sweat, and I could. I started experiencing things in my mind from my life, and I could see how I had screwed things up. In other words, I was able to totally accept the fact that I was a narcissist. when she confronted me. And it was a it kind of felt good that I finally knew what was had been bothering me all these years.
Yeah, you know, sometimes I think that society babies us, because sometimes it's just a matter of knowing. A lot of people, a lot of us don't know any better.
We have a guest, a listener, Mary Allen from Salt Lake City. She would like to share with us a story of narcissism. Mary, are you with us?
Oh, yes, I guess we lost her.
No, no, sorry, we're trying to get Mary on the line too. But okay, Larry, continue, sorry.
Let me make one other comment, if I may, before we go on.
Sure.
It was 22 years between the time that I had recognized that I was a narcissist and I was able to drop it. Because intellectually coming to say, yes, I am a narcissist, is only the beginning. The question then is, how do you drop it? And that, at that point, the whole business of learning to love God or learning to love through meditation, it doesn't matter whether it's Christian or Buddhist or something else. The task then is to drop it, to drop that illusion of a strong self that is blocking the love of God or putting in another terminology that it's the same thing. And so that's the real issue, and it's a two-step thing. You've got to come to recognize there's a problem, and then you're open to dealing with the problem, but it's not automatic.
Well, let's see. We have another caller. Let's see what...
We have Mary Allen from Salt Lake City. She would like to share with us her story.
Let's see what she has to say.
Mary Allen, do you hear us? You're on the Cure.
Yes, I do. Thank you. I was married to a narcissist for 10 years, and... I was born and raised a staunch Mormon, so being married to a narcissist, coming from my background, I had no clue. I didn't even know what narcissism meant.
And I guess any religion. My mother was a narcissist Catholic.
It doesn't distinguish religions, I guess.
I think, so often very religious people. That can happen, you know. But anyways, I truly loved him, and I felt that if I gave him a lot of love and set a good example, I did everything for him, and I worked so hard and tried to make him more loving. And he was like this gentleman that you're talking with. He was horrible in bed. I mean, he was wow. Just horrible in bed. He was so selfish And he was selfish in every aspect of life, you know. It was always about him, and I never understood.
That must have been so difficult for you, 10 years of that.
It was.
How were you able? Were you able to help him?
No, he never did change, and I never understood it. He broke my heart. I was always crying in my sleep and praying to God, and I couldn't understand why God was allowing me to live through this, because I truly loved God. And I left the Mormon church when I was 28 and became a born-again Christian, but I never had a church to go to, and I never read the Bible, but I did love Jesus Christ. And
don't feel alone, neither have I, I'm starting to now. But yeah. Let's see how Larry, Larry was able to overcome it. He wrote a book about it. So it is possible. Yes. Maybe this wasn't the right one for you, but should you run into it again, this would be a good book.
Yes, I would definitely buy it. But my husband ended up divorcing me for another woman. And he cheated on me all the time, but I would always forgive him.
That's very typical.
Long story short. Pardon?
Larry, what did you say?
That behavior is very typical.
Right.
Right, because the person is selfish, right?
Yes.
Wow.
And see, I was so dead. Let me just
put this in and say the purpose of writing this book was to help people like the person. I don't remember your name. The other person on the line here, because
Mary Ellen.
Well, what my book does is it shows you exactly what it means to be a narcissist, but it also makes the point that The narcissist can never understand that he's a narcissist unless he is enough of a failure or something happens. There's a crack in the armor, and he says, gee, what's the matter? And then he may be able to see it. But therapists have never been able to treat narcissists. First of all, they never come around to therapists. And second of all, if they do get into the therapist's office, there's nothing to do until the person is ready to say, yes, I'm a narcissist.
Right. There is no like a magic pill that you can take and suddenly become a good person. Yeah.
So what's the best advice for those of us living with a narcissist that we just won't give up on and we love unconditionally no matter what, and they are not leaving us and we're stuck?
Well, I think something the thing that helped important. Me because I didn't believe in divorce, okay? So I tried everything every day and prayed constantly. The thing that helped me after he divorced me and it devastated me, really devastated me, I happened to see something on TV about narcissism, so I Googled it, and I read for 2 hours. I was reading stuff on narcissism on my Google, and it helped me immensely because I was like, oh, my gosh. That's what was wrong.
Alone.
He's a narcissist because everything it said was exactly what he was.
Wow. Thank you, Mary Ellen. We really appreciate your calling in. Can you stay in the line if you'd like to give your information? We can send you a book. And Larry, you were saying that how can we actually go about changing?
It was possible for you, Larry. So... But this woman, she sounded so sad that it couldn't happen for her. So give us some hope, Larry. Tell us it can be done.
It can be. The first thing, clearly, is that you cannot treat a narcissist until he or she accepts the fact that they've got a problem. And that's it's people who work with narcissists or live with narcissists know that that's the last thing a narcissist is going to want to admit that they have a problem. But if their life is so screwed up that they finally can't deny it any longer, then there may be an opportunity. In other words, if they finally hit bottom, then if they've recognized that they're a narcissist, then you can begin the process. But the process is not easy. The process is in Christian terms, it's coming to love God and let go of your illusion that you're the center of the universe. From a Buddhist point of view, it's very similar. Dropping that illusion of self and that just opens up the whole world. Compassion, love, caring.
Yes, but don't we come close to it when we say, oh, love yourself. There's a fine line, and we can talk about that when we come back. This is Amy Cabo. You're listening to The Cure.
If you'd like to give us your perspective from your religion and narcissism, give us a call, 1-866-34-TRUTH, 1-866-34-TRUTH.
With Amy Cabo and The Cure.
I know there's nowhere I can run, there's nowhere I can hide from the one who gave his life so I could get back mine. Yeah. So when you can't take no more, look up and hear him say, don't hang your head when you get lonely. No, I'll never leave your side. And don't go thinking you're the only one that can get it right. Yeah, you got my love, 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 love down in your soul. Yeah, you got my love, 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 and I won't let you go. Your mercy is new every morning. Your grace sustains all of my life. You are the one that I run to. In you I am satisfied. Oh,
your mercy. And now we will continue with Amy Cabo and The Cure.
Thanks for being with us. I'm Amy Cabo and this is The Cure. You can listen to us live every Saturday at 1 p.m. on our app The Cure, on your radio, on social media. Look for God is The Cure.
Later, the show will be available as a podcast. Search for The Cure with Amy Cabo on any podcast channel.
We're talking with Larry White about overcoming narcissistic personality disorder. And religion. The song that just played.
I'm not overcoming religion, just
no,
helping.
Got no, it. No. And finding his religion.
There you are.
Whichever one, they all work. It's just one God.
Yes.
The song that just played was Love by We Are the Messengers. That's a really cute song. I love it. Because God sees us all. He knows when we can't take any more. He never left my side. And he's always the reason I ever got it right. He gave his life for us, that he will never leave our side, as he will guide us, teach us, and lead the way. So please hold on tight. His mercy shows with every new day. He keeps us humble so we can love others equally. We are individually adored and valued the same. Thank you, God.
I also want to announce a contest that we just started. Let us know suggestions for a song that we can play on the show through our contact us page on GodIsTheCure.com, and if we play it, you will receive a $25 gift certificate. Laurie, thank you for being with us. We were talking before the break how in a family, how we can help a narcissistic person on a family perspective, or how the person can be helped. So do you think, you said no forcing it, so you need to have like a personal big problem to go through to realize that you need help. That's the only way.
I think one of the important, most important first things to realize is that the narcissist didn't do it on himself. He doesn't
Correct.
Know he's a narcissist. He won't accept it that he's a narcissist, and he's not likely to change. For instance, if you started dating somebody or go on a first date or something, and you say, this guy's a narcissist, but if I'm really loving, I'm sure he'll change. That's not true.
Can we maybe distinguish the difference between a narcissistic personality disorder and certain people with really bad habits? Because I don't think that everybody can go into the criteria, this is a disease. I think that we need to be...
You're absolutely right.
Right.
It's just a matter of accountability and ownership, and not everybody's good about confessing or accepting their faults.
Right.
And it's just a matter of being a little grounded.
There's a difference between
we're all human.
Narcissism as a trait is just a trait, and that's not a personality disorder. But if you have five of those characteristics that I read, that's a personality disorder, and that's a whole different thing. And so I suppose one of the first things that a person should do is look at the nine characteristics and say, is my partner or friend or employer, is he a personality disorder or just a narcissistic trait? Narcissistic traits you can get over. Personality disorder you can also get over, but it's a whole different trip.
And it's a very difficult thing.
But if you know that if you decide that this is a personality disorder in this person, I think it's helpful to realize it's not his fault, he didn't do it to himself, and he deserves compassion because he's living in a world that's totally different from everybody else. He's living in a dream world.
How do you get this narcissistic personality disorder that doesn't have compassion or empathy or, the things that you described? How can you get them to know that? The only way that I know is by getting to know God's word, by knowing God,
Amy, wait a minute. Let me interrupt you, Amy. What you're saying is absolutely right, except that you can't accept God's word or understand God's word.
Because you're your own God.
That's right. If you're your own God, you can't do that. That's the barrier.
That's a tough one.
That's a good way to put it. The narcissist is his own God, and nobody else matters in the universe. No, he is the only being that exists. And that's the way he sees the world.
Wow.
What you're saying about love of God is absolutely right. Except that the narcissist has to come to a place where he is open to that, and I think the only way you can do that is show that if there's a person like that in your life, the only thing you can do is be compassionate and recognize that they don't know they got the problem, and then hope or whatever, whatever you can do to bring a chink in the armor, the person has to. It's like a lot of addiction. An alcoholic isn't going to quit drinking until he or she really reaches some sort of a bottom or has some kind of an awareness. Well, that's the same thing for a narcissist.
So did it take you a long time?
You have to hit rock bottom. Okay. I would say you have to, and if the husband, like that poor woman, if he doesn't leave and he hits rock bottom and has a supportive spouse like your wife, then it's possible.
I was 60 years old when I discovered that I was a narcissist, and it was another 20 some years before I was able to finally drop it. Now,
wow.
Because discovering that you're a narcissist and being open to change is a beginning. There's no magic in 22 years. You may be able to do it in 22 months, but the thing that then has to happen is that you have to really experience the love of God, or in another tradition, you have to drop the illusion of self and be open. And the kind of experiences that you went through, Amy, were very, very difficult, but you were aware of the problem and you were able to love God and to have a relationship with God, which brought you through it. But that kind of relationship is not possible for a narcissist until he is able to say, I am a narcissist and I recognize these characteristics and five of them are me. Now where do we go? And that's the beginning. And,
wow.
And at that beginning, then it really doesn't matter. Nobody should change their religious or their philosophy or anything. What you grew up with will work, whether you're a Christian or a Muslim or a Buddhist. They all have the possibility of God's love. And we in a Christian country, Christianity is an ideal path to overcoming narcissism. If you can recognize that you've got it.
If you can get there. But seriously, doesn't it feel better not to be narcissistic? Or at least being narcissistic could not have felt right. I mean, because come on, there's the Holy Spirit. We're made in the image of Christ, whether you're Buddhist or whatever you are. You got to know the true you. You can't be in denial forever.
Oh, yes, you can.
But I know it's difficult.
You can be in denial forever. But when you're no longer in denial, it is. It's a whole different world. You can't imagine that.
Thank God, Larry, then you weren't in denial forever. Thank God.
And maybe with your book, people will be able to see more about that.
Yes, because...
I would hope so, because as far as I know...
I didn't know it was so serious.
It's the only book that's been written by a person who actually was a narcissist. And
right.
I think that I do a pretty good picture of painting what it's like. And that's it's important if you're having to relate to a narcissist to know what it really feels like, and
wow, from a narcissist's point of view.
Yeah. In other words,
from
if you have to
perspective,
if you're married to a narcissist, or you have to work with a narcissist
to help understand the person,
you have some understanding of how you can be compassionate with this person who didn't do it to himself on purpose. And has no idea of what he's doing to other people.
Exactly. So what they need is compassion, understanding, and love, and maybe lead by example.
That's right.
We're almost finishing with today's show. Thank you, Larry, to being with us.
Thank you, Larry, for being with us and for discussing such an important topic, because I'm sure there's a lot of narcissistic personalities out there, and they can definitely benefit from this book. The Confessions of a Zen Narcissist, Struggles with the Illusion of Self. It can be found on Amazon. Thank you so much, Larry.
Thank you, Amy. I appreciate it. Thanks for inviting me.
Of course. It was great.
And thank you to the audio producer, Jasper, who always comes through, even with lightning rods. No matter where, he's always there to save the day. And thank you for Robbie. He always makes this show beautiful. And thank you for his guidance. And thank you to my co-host, who finds my prayers.
I think I'm not a narcissist.
So, let's pray. Lord, we pray for the heart position of humility. Humility in such a way that we do not cheapen our own worth or value within, but that we take the alignment that we are here for a greater purpose than just our own gain. We pray that you will highlight to us what it truly means to live a humble life, and that our own worth will be revealed by your light. It is only then that we may truly live in freedom and right standing, for we will hold our own value correctly. Lord, we welcome you to mold and secure our hearts in true humility by your lead. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please check our podcast, The Cure, with Amy Cabo, or our app, The Cure, or please visit our website, GodIsTheCure.com. Now, next week, we're going to have a very interesting guest.
Next week, we'll be having somebody that goes by the Angry Doctor.
It's either she's very angry or...
Well, we'll just have to find out. Dr. Vicky Coleman, is she angry or is anger something we need to address?
It's going to be fun.
Until next time, guys. This is Amy Cabo with Boris. You're listening to The Cure. Until next week, every Saturday at 1 Eastern, much love. We're out.
Thank you for listening to The Cure with Amy Cabo. For more information or to get Amy's book, Love is the Answer, God is the Cure, or to listen to the podcasts of previous shows, visit GodIsTheCure.com.